getting dicey. It's always good to be able to have something to pull out when the enemy doesn't know. He thinks he's got it, but you pull something out and he doesn't have it. Well, God had a secret plan from before the foundation of the earth. That means from before man was created, before the universe was made, before the earth was made, God had a plan. He had a plan. So, Lord, we're thankful, Lord, that you are, and your infinite wisdom is so much greater than anything that could come against us or come against mankind, that we can surely trust you to overcome everything in our lives. Lord, that we are the overcomers because of you, Lord. So thank you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Amen. You know Adam and Eve? Did you know them first? You know, all this that Adam and Eve, we put it all on Adam and Eve sometimes. You know, if they would have just been a little bit smarter, things wouldn't be so bad. But you know what? God had it covered. He had it covered before they ever made a mistake. He had it covered. I've got you covered. I want you to know, church, God's got you covered too, because of His infinite wisdom, because He can make it good. That's why the Scripture can say without a shadow of a doubt, God causes. Well, let's back up just a little bit. No, maybe I am getting it right. I thought I had it out of order for a minute. God causes all things to work together for good for those who are... Did you get that? For those who love Him and for those who are called according to His purpose. He's got you covered. You can't mess it up so much that He cannot cause it to happen. He's one that can cause things. Let there be light! Can you do that? He can. He can cause things to happen in your life so that when you think you've messed it up, He can cause it to work for good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 46:10 said this, declaring from the end from the beginning and from ancient times things which have not been done, saying, My purpose will be established. And I will accomplish all of my good pleasure. I mean, can you say those things? God can say those things and mean it. He can mean that. I'm going to accomplish everything. And there's no arrogance there. He's just going to do it. For you, and you're going through tough times, He can make it better. Put your trust in Him. Put your trust in Him. Now, the secret plan, of course, involves the cross, right? But I want you to know, for anybody who is not a believer, listen to this. For the word of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but for us who are being saved, it is the power of God. He come with power. Power. There is power, power, wonder working power in the blood of the Lamb. But there's also power in the resurrection. I'll tell you, there's a power in the resurrection. And then, we think we've lost, you know, this and that, but I'm telling you, God, in His secret plan, has, when we come back home to Him, it says this in 1 Peter, for you were continually straying like sheep. But now you have returned to the shepherd and the guardian of your soul. It's not all on you. Put your trust in Him and He will guard your soul. Return to Him who can guard you and protect you so that we can jump out of the boat. We can do that with all assurance that God is for us. He's for us. So, and even if our gospel is veiled, in 2 Corinthians 4, starting at verse 3, it is veiled to those who are perishing. Who's perishing, by the way? Did you know that the whole population in Adam is perishing? Not one is righteous. Not one is going to make it. The whole thing in Adam is perishing. But God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son that those who believe in Him should not perish. So the ones who are perishing, it's those who are not in faith, those who are not believing. In whose case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelieving so that they may not see the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. Lord. Christ Jesus as Lord. That word Christ and Lord are pretty important, but the church is a little lax on the Lord part. But we need to know that we don't preach Jesus, we don't preach Christ Jesus, but we do preach Christ Jesus as Lord, and ourselves as your, whose bondservants? You know, some people just want to serve the Lord. They just want to serve the Lord. Paul is saying, we've come to be your bondservants. We've come to serve you. And that's something we also can grab onto in the body of Christ, that we're here to serve one another. And ourselves as your bondservants for Jesus' sake. For God who said, light shall shine out of darkness. What does it take to see? If you're blind, no light comes in. Well, you don't even need to be blind. And if I had better lights in here, I would shut the doors and I'd shut them off right now. You notice there's no windows in here. I sometimes feel like we're a secret society or something. We're not. But I could shut the doors and I could shut off the lights and you would be as good as blind. I've been in here sometimes when this happened. And it gets really dark. And the only way you're going to see is when the light comes on. So what does it say here? Light shall shine out of darkness. The God of this world has blinded the world, but light shall shine out of darkness. It's the one who has shone in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory in the face of Jesus Christ. His secret plan has now been revealed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. How many know the story of Haman and Mordecai? It's in the book of Esther. But I like Haman and Mordecai. Because Haman thought he had the plan to get Mordecai. And he had it all figured out. So he builds a big gallows, probably as high as the ceiling or higher. Can't remember. And he's got it all ready and the plan is all set. He's like the devil. He's like the one that had the plan set for us. And he's got the gallows and it's all set. Except in the end of the day, he overstepped his bounds a little bit and his whole plan got exposed. And all of Israel was set free, but Haman got to hang on his own gallows. That's kind of what's happening here. The devil thought he had it all figured out. He thought he had us. But Jesus had a secret plan. Resurrection. So, God has revealed His secret plan to us. Do you know the secret plan? Can you share the secret plan? Can you tell the world of the secret plan of Jesus so that they know? We need to know that. The ones who perish are those who do not believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm telling you, unbelief is an enemy. Unbelief is an enemy. The one that comes to try to rob you of your faith. As a Christian, have you ever had to come against or ever been kind of thought maybe, is this really all true? Is this thing about Jesus, am I just, you know, especially after you get into college and you start doing all this stuff. Well, I tell you, you know, I was a physics major and part of my training was in acoustics because that's part of physics. And we had to study the ear. Just get in and study a little bit about your own body. And you'll say, there's no way that there isn't a God. We're so fearfully and wonderfully made. Hebrews 3:12 says this, brethren. Who are the brethren? That's us, right? Take care, brethren. Take care, brethren. Take care. All of us, that there would not be in any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that falls away from the living God. Do not go into coasting mode. I was talking to Gary once about shrinking back. I should have you come up and do it, Gary, because he said this word shrinking back is a sailing term. And it's the right one, right? Shrinking back? And it's secretly letting down your sail, getting it out of the wind, and going drifting. Just putting your boat, secretly let your sail down and drift. Don't let anybody know. Don't let anybody know. You can kind of look like you're still sailing, but you're not. You're just drifting. If you do that, unbelief is going to be crouching right at your door. I mean, it is there. Do not let your sail down ever. Keep it up. Keep it up. So, questions. Are these truths necessary to the gospel? I'm just going to go through, there's more, but I'm going to go through a few. And these truths are under attack in the church. One degree or another. But if these truths that I'm going to look at, if you would get revelation, sometimes it just takes some revelation. How many of you pray for revelation for yourself? Because you need revelation. You need to have revelation. It isn't good enough just to have someone tell you, you got to have it. You got to get it. Wow. And if you have the revelations, then you can reckon them so. You can say, yes, they are true. And the gods of this world will not be able to deceive you with a spirit of unbelief and blind you, again, from the gospel of Jesus Christ. So, I'll get one come up there. There it came. Virgin birth. Did you know that some people don't believe that the virgin birth was necessary? How else would God come? Do you know that it was impossible for man to get to God? But for God, all things are possible. And God said, there's a way for me to get to man. I'm coming down. I'm going to come down. But he did that by himself, overshadowing Mary, the Virgin, and he became man. But he was still all God. God and man. There was no way for Jesus to enter into this world without the virgin birth, which, by the way, was also prophesied in the prophet Isaiah. The Messiah would be born of a virgin. Oh, I got to hit a different place. Jesus being God. That one is really big time being challenged by many people in the church that Jesus really isn't God. And there's many new, or not new, but there's many things that sound good, but they really aren't concerning this one. In fact, on May 14th, Chuck has invited a few of us down, I don't know how many, and we're going to be discussing, by the way, Reggie, put that on your calendar, May 14th. but anyway, that Jesus emptied himself of being God. Well, he was a man. Don't believe that. I don't care how it comes to you, don't believe that. Jesus never stopped being God. He could never be separated out from God. God is not able to do that. He's not going to do that. Jesus did not stop being God ever. And just a couple things, if you know, at the Transfiguration, what did they see? Did they see a man? They went up there with a man, but all of a sudden there stood a, whoa, this is really cool. They saw Jesus, and he was something different from man, I'll tell you that. He was God. He was God. You know, I'm just going through a few things, but I'm telling you, these are truths which cannot be compromised. We cannot give these things up. Jesus being Lord. The title Christ appears 555 times and Lord appears 618. But to me it seems like for myself and for those I hang out with, Christ is far more elevated in our minds than Lord. But in Acts it says that he became both Christ and Lord. Is it important that Jesus is the Lord? There were those back in the day when Caesar, I mean, they used to say, Caesar is Lord. Okay? If you come along and says, Jesus is Lord, it wasn't good for you. You can say Jesus is Lord in America and it's not so bad for you. There are places where you say Jesus is Lord, you're in trouble. But Jesus is Lord. There is the Lord of Lords. If there are other Lords, Jesus is the Lord. And He's my Lord. But what does it mean to be a Lord? Do you really want to enter into having Jesus as Lord? As Lord. He's worthy of being Lord because He always gets it right every time. He never misses the mark. I was in Vietnam and they wanted us to follow our leader without question. And for the most part, you just did that. But they got it wrong many times. And they led people into battle when they shouldn't have. And people died because of their decisions needlessly. I'll tell you, you can follow Jesus and He gets it right every time. He does not get it wrong ever. You can make Jesus Lord of your life and you will know that you're on the right path. Absolutely. Without question. He gets it right every time. All right. Some more. I just didn't want to put them all up at once. Now I can't get any of them to come up. Well, now let's see all. Is that the same one? Okay. Come on. Oh. Jesus dying on the cross. That's being challenged by other people. He just was swooning, they said. When they speared him in the side and all the blood and water come out, do you think he was just swooning a little? He lost it. He died. As a man, Jesus died. He had to die. Do you know that the secret plan of Jesus does not hold any water unless he died? Why is that? Why did Jesus have to die for us to be born again? Because until then, if you were to be born again with Jesus, until he died on the cross, and you tried to hang out with Jesus and be hooked up with him, you'd be called an adulterer because you were still hooked up to someone else. If you've ever read Romans 7, 1 through 4, you found out that you had to die. You had to die before you could be joined to Jesus, and the only way for you to die was for him to die. Why is that? Because he took you with him. You died with him. I was crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but now Christ lives in me. I had to die too. Sometimes we use the word substitute, and there's a place for that. But I'm telling you, don't think you got off, because if you still hang on to your life, you can't have his. He who loses his life can find it. He who keeps his life loses it. You must die. So we died when he died. And that was the circumcision of my heart. The removal, it says in Colossians, of my flesh. And that had to be cut out without, it wasn't with a knife, it was a God himself took out the body of flesh. And in baptism, it was buried. And I'm telling you, until that body of flesh was taken out, Jesus could not be brought in. It must. So the dying on the cross was very necessary. And it took, he took all of man to the cross and he set us free from the jurisdiction or the covenant of the law. Adam was under a different covenant. We now are under the law of liberty. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That's where we dwell. Okay. Jesus shedding his blood. Was that necessary? Some people, there's a group in Grand Rapids, the pastor gets up, he's no longer the pastor there, he's went into movies. But, Grand Rapids, Michigan, let's get over a little bit further. He had thousands of people in his church. And he said the blood was shed because man required it. It was something man made up, and Jesus said, okay, I'll have it your way. I'll shed some blood so that you'll be satisfied. He said that to thousands and they believe him. Jesus shed his blood to take away the sin of the whole world so that your sins have been erased in heaven. Your sins have been erased by the blood of Jesus. It says in Hebrews 12 that the blood of Jesus cries out greater and better than the blood of Abel. What does Abel's blood cry out? Cain murdered him, and his blood went into the ground, and it cries out for justice. Jesus' blood went in, and it cries out mercy. It cries out forgiveness. It cries out something better. It overcame. It overcame all the blood that was shed. And I want to say that if anybody in here has went through an abortion and you're suffering somehow, I want to let you know that Jesus' blood cries out greater. It cries out greater. And you can be forgiven and you're okay. You're okay. Not that we should ever want to do that, but I want to say that Jesus' blood is greater than man's sin. Whatever you have went through, Jesus' blood is greater. And if it wouldn't have been shed, we wouldn't be in a very good place. Jesus being raised from the tomb. They're still looking for Jesus over there. They're still hoping they'll open up one of those tombs and find Jesus' bones in there. Because they still don't. It's hard to believe, you know, this resurrection business is hard to come up with. Jesus was the first man resurrected from the dead and became a life-giving spirit. If Jesus did not come out of the tomb, our faith as a believer is useless. It hasn't have any. You can do all the wonderful things, and if Jesus didn't raise from the dead, there's no hope for us to have resurrection life in us. Because that's where it came from, through the resurrection. It says in 1 Peter that you have been born again through the resurrection. Without the resurrection, there is no born again. One more. Jesus ascending into heaven. It says that Jesus entered a more perfect tabernacle. And when He atoned in that tabernacle, when His blood was atoned, was there, your sins were atoned for. Your sins were atoned. When He entered that more perfect tabernacle in heaven. So it says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off, I'm in Ephesians 2:13, starting in 13, but now, In Christ Jesus, you who were formerly far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For He Himself is our peace. What is that peace? That peace is we're good with God. We're at peace with God. You ever been not at peace with your wife or your husband? And when things are good? Well, That's a type of peace when you come to. Well, Jesus took away by His blood everything that was holding God and man apart was taken away. Taken away. The enmity is gone. And God and man are brought back together so much that God took residence up here. He took residence up in every believer. Not only is He just okay with you, He said, I'm coming to live with you. We're going to come and make our home with you. We're going to dwell in you. Now, this is a big deal. If you... it does take revelation sometimes to even think about some of these things. Who made both groups into one and broke down the barrier of the dividing wall by abolishing in His flesh, the enmity, which was the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so that in Himself, in Christ Jesus Himself, in Him, He might make the two into one new man. Thus establishing peace, not only between God and man, but between man and man. His peace is good for us. It's good for God and it's good for us. That it was in Him that we became two. And the two became one, I mean. It was in Him. In His flesh. He took the two and made them one. In Himself. And that He might reconcile them both in one body to God through the cross by having put to death the enmity. For this reason, I, Paul, the prisoner of Christ Jesus, for the sake of you Gentiles, if indeed you have heard the stewardship of God's grace, which was given to me for you, that by revelation, you see, there's Paul saying, I got this by revelation, there was made known to me the mystery, as I wrote before in brief, but referring to this, when you read, you can understand my insight into the mystery of Christ, which in other generations was not made known to the sons of men, as it has now been revealed to His holy apostles and prophets in the Spirit. To be specific, that the Gentiles are fellow heirs and fellow members of the body and fellow partakers of the promise in Christ Jesus through the gospel, of which I was made a minister according to the gift of God's grace, which was given to me to the working of His power. Do you think the Gentiles were an afterthought? You're not an afterthought. The Jews weren't an afterthought, but you're not an afterthought. God had you in His mind from the beginning. His secret plan included you and me. His secret plan. God's plan was for us to be in Him through Jesus all along, whether Jew or Gentile, whether Old Testament believer or New Testament believer. Either one, it was to be in Him. We're reconciled to God through Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. But there's more to come. There's more to come. There's the resurrection of the body. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Do you know that Jesus, it says that we have one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ. You think, does Jesus still have His scars in heaven? Or did He just let them go? Come, Peter, put your hand in my side. Put your hand in my hand. Feel the scars. Isaiah chapter 49, I've forever marked you in the palms of my hands. He remembers. He sees to this day. Because now you, in your resurrection body, do you get excited when you think about the resurrection? I mean, it's going to be one of the coolest things ever, but I'll tell you what, not a hair on your head, and for some of you who lost your hair, God keeps track of them all. He's got to be able to do that because He keeps track of everything else. I mean, He is the accountant of accountants. I mean, you talk about the ones that are the bean counters. I'll tell you, God, they're just nothing to God. He keeps track of it all. There's not one thing on this earth that He doesn't know about. Right down to the molecule. He knows it all. It's all being held together by Him. He's the one. Awesome God. Awesome God. The resurrection. In John, 1 John, it says, Beloved, we are now... 1 John chapter 3... In verse 2 it says, Beloved, now we are children of God. It has not appeared as what we shall be, but we know when He appears, we're going to be just like Him. Because we'll see Him just as He is. And then He adds this right after that. And everyone who holds this to be true purifies himself just as he is pure. One of my closing comments I'm going to make today is about our walk with the Lord. Our walk with the Lord. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, is that you? Have you been raised up with Christ? The resurrection life of Jesus Christ, does it dwell in you? Are you raised up with Him? In Ephesians, I think it's chapter 2, says that we are seated with Him in heavenly places. That's the Scripture, it's not me. We have been raised up. If you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you've been raised up with Him. Keep seeking things above where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things on earth. For you have died. There it is. You have died. And now your life is hid with Christ in God. Can you get that? Where are you? Where are you? Your life is hid with Christ in God. Now that is something, maybe it takes a little revelation, but it takes some faith to believe that the Scripture is actually true and that your life is hid with Christ in God. Wow. Wow. So when Christ, who is our life, wow, is revealed, then you also will be revealed with Him in glory. We're His betrothed, and we're dressing ourselves in fine linen for the wedding. Have you ever got the other ready for a wedding? Well, you're the bride, and we're dressing ourselves in fine linen. How do you put on the fine linen of the Lord? Do you know? You read in Revelations, it says it's the righteous acts of the saints. Okay? How do you do a righteous act? Can you come up with one? What's a righteous act? There's only one righteous act, and it's the one that the Lord said for you to do. And if you're obedient to what the Lord's saying for you to do by faith, you're doing a righteous act. You can't come up with this stuff on your own. You can't just go out and say, well, I'm going to save the world. I'm going to do all these things for you, Lord. I never knew you, you workers of iniquity. That's what the Scripture says about that kind of behavior. But I'm telling you, if you are in relationship with Him, hearing the voice of the Lord, by faith, driving out someplace to meet with a gal. I knew a guy once who had a vision, right, from the Lord. His name is Bob Ewing from Waco, Texas. He had a vision from the Lord, and it was a vision of a guy over in France. And the Lord says, go minister the gospel to him. Okay, Lord. He goes down. He buys a ticket to France. He flies to France. He gets off the plane and he walks, I don't know how far, but not very far, and there the man is. He talks to the man, and the man has been seeking. And he found the Lord and ministered to him and then turned around and flew back. A righteous act. I mean, he just did it. But he did it by faith. Who was the one who said, all in? Well, he was all in. He just did it. When the Lord says, do it, he did it. Bid you come, I come. And it doesn't have to be that big a deal. Okay? It can be, did you give your wife or did you give your husband something and the Lord reminds you and you do it? A righteous act. Okay? It's whatever the Lord is saying for you to do by faith. It was faith. Abraham did it and it was counted to him as what? Righteousness. By faith, if you do it, it's counted to you as righteousness. Okay. And although you were formerly alienated and hostile in mind, engaged in evil deeds, yet He has now reconciled you in His fleshly body. You gotta get that if you can dwell on that for a little bit. He reconciled you in His fleshly body. You are with Him. In order to present you before Him holy, blameless, and beyond reproach. In other words, through that circumcision, He took out your flesh. He removed it. And now He has come in, and I'll tell you what came into you is holy. It is holy. It is without sin. It is blameless and beyond reproach. And you must start identifying with who you are in Christ. Amen? And no longer identifying yourself with your old sinful nature. Because that's where the power of the resurrection is. The power of the life. The power to walk out the life is from the place of strength of who you are, not from a place of weakness of who we were. Okay. If indeed you continue in the faith. I don't like that. Huh? If indeed you continue. Firmly established and steadfast. I'm telling you, who is it? Who is it that causes us to continue? Who is it? Just get this now. Who are you again? Who moved in? Your life is hid with Christ in God. Is God an overcomer? Is Jesus an overcomer? Will He overcome for you? Are you identified with Him? Are you one with Him? Will you continue? You will if you keep putting your trust in who you are. I'll tell you, if you start putting your trust in your flesh, you'll lose. You will go down. Put your trust in Him. He caused me to die. Without the death, I could not be joined. The devil thought he had permanently separated me and you from God because of sin, which also had a penalty of death in there. But God, in His infinite wisdom, through Jesus' death on the cross, He accomplished judgment. He accomplished the death penalty, in other words, that was for you and for all of mankind. He took that onto Himself, and He took us with Him, and He said, okay, that was my call that sin brought death, and now it happened. But here's the secret plan. You see, He took us out of the way. You can't be joined to another if you're still joined to one. But He said, I will cause you to die. Since the law is never going to die, the law is perfect in all its ways, it'll never go away. But you can go away. You can die. So the devil says, ha-ha, we got you involved with death. Jesus says, I got one better. I will finish that off, and I will cause all man to die. Everybody will die, and then I can, by my holiness, by removing the sinful nature, I can come in. I can come in. And everyone who believes on the Lord Jesus Christ will receive eternal life in Him, in you. God made a way for man to be born again. But like who said, He's not going to force it. He's not going to be the one that's going to force you to do anything. You need to hear the gospel, and faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and be born again, receiving Jesus into yourself. Okay, last slide. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask you, and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That's a mouthful. The knowledge of His will with all spiritual wisdom and understanding. That word understanding there is when you can put it all together and make it and own it for yourself. So that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, and being strengthened with the power. I like that. That strengthened and power, they both have to do with dynamite. Strengthened with dunamis. But anyway, according to His glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness, patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance. He's qualified us. He qualified. You didn't qualify yourself. The Father qualified you. But I want to close with this, that you would walk in a manner worthy of the gospel. I was watching Antique Roadshow one day. Anybody watch Antique Roadshow? Anybody hooked on Antique Roadshow? Anyway. We like watching Antique Roadshow. So there's one guy, they said, where did you get this painting? Out of the dumpster. You know, pulled it out of the dumpster. And of course they have it up and it's a painting, you know, it's worth $1 million. Someone had thrown it away. Just cast it away. They probably just had it in a drawer someplace or whatever. They probably had no value put on that painting until someone said to them, this painting is worth $1 million. I mean, you should have saw him take it home. Bring in a case here, and we're going to, you know, it was a whole different deal. Once you know what Jesus has done for you, once it's in your heart, what this resurrection has accomplished for you, that's what empowers you to say, oh, I think I need to change my life here. I think this is really worthy. The word worthy there means that your walk exactly is characterized by the worth of what was done for you. Worthy of the walk. Your walk and what Jesus done. Okay, they're coming close. So the power, the secret plan, is not a small deal. And those who know this purify themselves just as He is pure. Those who have got a little bit of knowledge, a little bit of revelation, oh my goodness, did Jesus do this for me? Do I really have eternal life? I will not perish. I am God's child. He's moved into me. I think my walk should probably reflect that. Rather than just, oh yeah, I'm going to heaven. And we just kind of, what was the word that Keith Miners brought to our church? Anybody know? The word was reckless. He said, the church is on a reckless path. Well, that means we're just not really on a path that reflects how careful we should be walking our life. Not recklessly, but carefully, doing whatever we can so that we would please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work. And in that, you'll be increasing in the knowledge. But to actually take note of your life. Take note that this was a big deal. The resurrection of Jesus Christ accomplished for you and me something far more than you could ever imagine. Take note of that. And then walk in a manner worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. That your walk would reflect what He's done. That your walk would actually be would reflect some kind of a worth of what Jesus has done. That your walk would be worthy. So, these days are necessary. And we're going to take communion now. But I'm telling you, take communion today with such a thanksgiving to the Lord for the resurrection. We cheered. We clapped our hands earlier. But I'm telling you, it was worth us clapping our hands, but there's more than clapping our hands. It's our daily walk. It's our life out there. It's everything we do to let God have the glory. Let Him be worthy of our honor and praise. So, Father, I just thank You. And, Lord, I pray, Lord, just like Paul, that we would all have revelation of the knowledge of His will so that we can grab hold of all that You had and we can put it together for us and we can say, yes, this is for me and I am a child of God. I have eternal life. And Lord, then help us to walk. Lord, help each one of us by the Spirit of God to walk in a manner worthy. Put Your trust in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, for those who are led by the Spirit, those are the children of God. Let Him lead you and guide you into all truth. But listen to Him. Listen to Him as we put on our righteous, our fine linen through our obedience to Him. So thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord. Amen.